The following program is paid for by Absolute Mortgage, a division of Pinnacle Capital Mortgage Corporation. Absolute Mortgage Company, NMLS number 81395, and Washington CL number 81395, is an equal opportunity housing lender. Tina Mitchell, MLO number 145420, is a licensed loan originator with Absolute Mortgage. Visit AbsoluteLoans.com or call 888-90-HOMES for cost information.
You're listening to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell. Sponsored by Absolute Mortgage, a division of Pinnacle Capital Mortgage Corporation. Now, in the studio, local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome to The Money Hour on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, September 13th show. Wow, what an amazing weekend that we're having out there. Got to love living in Seattle. I'm your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell. Thank you for taking time to talk money. I'm empowering our community, providing you with opportunities and solutions when it comes to your money. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you're listening to a rebroadcast, but I am here to answer any questions or connect you with any of the guests that we have in studio today. Please call the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. And the lineup that I have in studio today, Lloyd Hara, King County Assessor. And do you own property in King County? We're going to discuss what's happening over at the assessor's office and what's happening to our property values and your property taxes. Also, I have in studio Brad Van Vechten, founder and managing member of Private Wealth Solutions, Wealth Planning Investment Strategies and Investment Solutions. There's a lot of decisions to be made when it comes to your money and how and who do you invest your money with. Last in studio, Vincent Humphrey, attorney with Barrera Legal Group. And also we have attorney John Barrera, owner of Barrera Legal Group, here to discuss and talk about a divorce and how it affects your property. Great information and great guests in studio today. For more information on any topics discussed, please call into the show 1-855-411-50 or online at themoneyhour.com. Again, 1-855-400-1150. And let's go ahead and start out the show, as always, with a little money chat.
Money. Money.
Generation X, Generation Y, demographics and buying home. It's interesting to see what's happening in these generations. Sales of residential property are really strong. And one of the reasons is for the surge in purchasing is the young adults entering our local real estate market here. Harvard University Joint Center of Housing Studies came up with a survey stating that 43% of 18 to 34 year olds are already homeowners currently right now. 93% are currently on a rent plan. They're renting, but they have a plan to ultimately purchase a home. 72% say that homeownership is part of the personal American dream. 79% under 25 years old believe that owning is financially better than renting. This is an indication that recession anxiety, which prompted adult children to move into their home with their parents, and single people who postpone marriage is starting to, as we've seen, a lot of ease. And this is really helping our real estate market in this generation. The group is now coming into the market strong and are excited about homeownership, which is really exciting news. Survey consistently find that overwhelming majority of young adults plan to own a home in the future. And many of these buyers have stayed on the sidelines, but with the improvement on the housing market, they're getting off the fence and they're beginning to start their home search and really seeing the urgency of taking advantage of the market now while the interest rates are still at a historical low. I know that we've heard a lot, and you've heard me say on the show many times how interest rates are going to go up, and we know they are. It's just a matter of time and how much longer that we're going to see these historical low interest rates. And the sense of urgency and getting off the fence is just with the demand of homeownership and what we're seeing in the market is the challenge that we've talked about many times times before, as well as just the lack of inventory. So hopefully we continue to get some more inventory on the market that's going to help. Now, these new households will be divided between purchase and rentals. However, this group believes strongly in homeownership, as we saw through the statistics that Harvard University put together. Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate Survey showed that Gen X and Gen Y are more motivated than some of our older generations. The survey revealed that 40% would be willing to take a second job if needed, and 23% said that they would move in with parents to save money so that they could come up with that down payment in order to have the American dream of homeownership. Now, Gen X and Gen Y are savvy home buyers. So for real estate agents out there and financing experts, they have the knowledge that is needed. Today's Gen X and Y homeowners are not the buyer of 5 years ago. After the tightening within the mortgage industry and the fallout in the housing industry, today's buyer is savvier than ever. And they're street smart, having built an education off of the internet, offering real estate insight into the home buying process. Gen X and Y are knowledgeable, responsible, and ready to buy when the time is right. So it'll be interesting to follow this trend as prices continue to rise and interest rates increase, which again, we know is going to happen sometime in the future. Coming up the Money Hour, if you're a homeowner in the King County area, you definitely will not want to miss my first guest in studio, which has been in studio many times, Lloyd Haar, King County Assessor, right here on 1150 AM KKNW after this short break.
Mortgage fraud has been rampant since 2007. Many folks don't know they have legal rights. Find out if your mortgage loan has wrongdoings and fraud. Magnum Law Group will do a free audit of your loan documents. Facing foreclosure? Need to stop a foreclosure sale? Magnum Law Group can help. We have experts with valuable knowledge, and we get results. Have you decided to short sale your property instead of a foreclosure? Magnum Law Group has the experience to negotiate better and faster for you.
Hi, this is Deborah with Magnum Law Group. Please contact us at 425-454-4300. You can visit our website at www.magnumlawgroup.com or call us at 425-454-4300.
This is the story of Daniel, who was born 2 months early. He weighed 1 pound, 7 ounces. His lungs weren't ready. His heart wasn't ready. His brain wasn't ready. At the hospital, the nurses said Daniel was a fighter, and they would do all they could to help him. The doctor said even with the best care, Daniel may never walk. He may never see. He may never learn. Daniel's parents spent night after night at the hospital, watching his every breath, holding his tiny hands, and looking for signs that he was growing stronger. At home, his parents looked around Daniel's empty nursery, at the quiet toys and the still rocker, and they hoped that one day they could sit in that rocking chair and tell this story to their very healthy son. Daniel's is just one of the more than 500,000 stories of babies born prematurely last year. But there's hope for a happy ending. The March of Dimes is funding the research and programs to stop premature birth. You can help bring more babies home healthy. Learn how at marchofdimes.com. Working together for stronger, healthier babies.
This is the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to the Money Hour, your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, September 13th show. My goal is to keep you up to date on the latest news and trends in our local economy. Keep me tuned in, and I will definitely keep you informed. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you're listening to a rebroadcast, but you can always call into the show at 1-855-411-50. Again, that's 1-855-411-50 or online at themoneyhour.com. You may definitely want to ask questions to the experts that I have in studio here. There's never enough time to get through all the information that I want to with my guest, but just a little bit of information to get you thinking about what you need and the knowledge that you need for your money. So feel free to, again, call into the show with any questions you have, and I can directly connect you with my guest. And in studio right now, who has visited me many many times. Lloyd Hara, King County Assessor, our King County Assessor in studio, talks about the property taxes and the values of our property and how it affects your property taxes and anything that's going on over at the Assessor office. Lloyd, thank you again for coming back to visit me.
It's always great to come to see you, Tina.
Yeah, we try to get you in here every other month or every couple months, but I know things are busy and there's a lot of things that are going on over at the office, and I hate to pull you away for something so important that affects our money by no doubt. A little bit about Lloyd, a representative, veteran, political official, was reelected as King County Assessor in November of 2011. Lloyd is a tireless advocate for taxpayers and champion openness and transparency for government agencies. He most recently served as a Seattle Port Commissioner, bringing new levels of accountability and leadership to the port. And Lloyd was King County's youngest auditor and award-winning national recognized Seattle City Treasurer and public finance expert. A Seattle native and his distinguished record of public service spans more than 40 years. So, Lloyd, let's go ahead and start out with what's happening right now with an update for 2014 for property values.
As everyone knows, the real estate market is very hot. And even preparing for this next year's tax year, 2015, we are completing all of our valuations based on January 1st numbers for the 2014 assessment year. And we are seeing double-digit increases for many areas. But as you're well aware, Tina, but maybe not your listeners, that does not necessarily mean that your property tax will go up the same percentage. Probably it will not in many, many, many cases. And in fact, we have 86 areas. 85 are increasing. The only area where we just see a minor decrease over last year is in the recreational areas.
Okay. So in the communities received their valuations, which ones received their valuations last week and who's going to be receiving them in the upcoming weeks, Lloyd?
Well, we have valuations that have just basically gone out to some areas on the east side and some South King County.
Okay.
Like down in the Des Moines, Burien area. Coming out this next week, we'll see several parts of White Center and Bellevue. So that will complete all of our valuations for all 86 areas. So as far as we are concerned, we've completed our valuation cycle. Now, there are some commercial properties, such as hotels and apartments, which are currently being posted, and those will be going out hopefully next week, but no later than probably 2 weeks from now.
Okay. And what information should my listeners look for in TIER property assessments, and how does it transfer into property tax dollars?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, some people have gotten really frightened and said, oh, my goodness, my value has gone up by 15% or 20% and even some cases 30%. That does not mean that your property tax will even come even close, say, for 30%. It might go up maybe 5%. And so it depends, one, on the value of your specific home and also the tax location code. Because throughout King County, we have many, many special levies that have been voted upon. And in some cases, 50% of your property tax is voter approved.
And I think that's a shocking percentage. Most people don't realize that when you think of property taxes, you directly connect it with the value of your home. And just like you said, it's 50%. Or less of that is actually the actual assessment value of your house. So, Lloyd, can you also talk about and share updated information in King County as far as what's happening in our condo market?
Well, the condo market is roaring back also. As you mentioned earlier, a lot of young people are getting into their first home.
And in our market, they need to start with a condo because the single-family homes are too expensive.
That's correct. And, you know, you're looking at properties that are probably $150,000, upwards maybe up to a quarter of a million. And that's probably within the salary range of many young people just starting out. And, you know, with the valuations for condos versus renting, you know, it comes out to the point where sometimes it's even better as an investment to buy now than to rent. And at least you're building equity that way.
Yeah, and I always tell clients, you definitely want to look at the numbers, and I'm a numbers person because I do mortgages for a full-time living, just hanging out here with you on the weekend doing the Money Hour show. But the numbers, they're either going to show red or green. I mean, take a look at them, and you can see what the cost of rent is, you know, loss of the tax benefit, the deduction, maybe the tax credit if you qualify as a first-time home buyer. You also need to look at the fact of what's going towards the principal or the pay down of your mortgage. So the numbers are really easy to run if you're using the appropriate assumptions. So let's talk about the difference of the real estate market now versus where it was in 2008. So prior to the 2008, and where, you know, what are we seeing today in the recovery?
We definitely see us moving back to the high water mark that was established in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And for many, you're probably now at that cost point. If you bought in 2008, your house could well be equal to that value.
Okay.
So you're finally getting out from under. There are still a few areas within the county where the values are still below the 2008 level. And
where, what areas are you seeing in that?
Well, that's primarily in the south end of the county.
Okay.
You know, the Kent area, the Burien, you know, SeaTac, Des Moines, etc. The hotter areas clearly are like on the east side, you know, high-end houses, Medina, Hunts Point, et cetera. I mean, they never really lost all that value, but, you know, they're clearly in what you would classify as a more profitable area above 2008.
Yep. Now, Lloyd, we all have our predictions on real estate, whether you're talking to me in the mortgage arena that has my own idea of what I think real estate's going to do. Obviously, your real estate agents. And I know there's a lot of conversation going on over at your office as well. What do you think of our future real estate and the upcoming appreciation or the slowdown of the market? What are your thoughts?
Well, right now, since we are the second fastest growing urban area in the country, and jobs are being created all over the place, what does that do? That drives and brings in new workers. They have to have a place to live. So as a consequence of supply and demand, values, I see, at least for the short term, will continue to rise. And our economy is diversifying. So the good thing here is a lot of the new jobs, the per capita income for those jobs is higher than what they've been in the past.
Yes.
So people have more money. So as a consequence, with more money, you'll probably see more folks getting into real estate.
Yeah, it makes total sense, Lloyd. Can you talk to my seniors that are listening today on what they need to be doing to make sure? Because I know that when we've talked about this before, that there's a lot of seniors that are actually missing out on the opportunity to get that discount on their property taxes. And how long do they have if they've missed? And where should they go to see if they qualify?
Okay. If you're 62 years of age and older, and you live in your primary residence, and you earn $35,000 gross income or less, you could well qualify. And we pick up folks that, gee, I didn't know the program existed.
Yes.
Yes, we can go back 3 years if you missed it. So I am encouraging any senior that thinks they might qualify to contact our office.
Okay.
And to basically do that. And one, if they're on the computer, they can go to kingcounty.gov/assessor, and you can quickly come up with the forms and the other information that you need to fill out.
Okay. And Lloyd, I know that your office has done some amazing things with the website since we're on that topic. Can you give a little brief of some of the benefits and things that they can? Because I think in getting values, I go to your website a lot now to get an idea of where the market and what's happening with real estate appreciation. And so can you talk about that?
Well, we're continuing to expand our website, mm-hmm. and we get well over 4 million page views per month.
Wow.
Which is a lot of activity.
You guys are popular.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people, especially now that the real estate market is, you know, what it is.
Of course.
People are looking. The other element is that we've won national awards for our work on our website.
Mm-hmm.
And a little over a year ago, we brought in the web app for doing appeals. And we just came back and won an award for that event.
So it makes it a lot easier for the appeal process.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We are currently looking at beginning to combine of a lot of other data, census data, health data, other social economic data, onto our website. So then you can begin to pinpoint what's activities that are happening. And hopefully we'll get that programmed and out by the end of the year.
That's so awesome. Well, since I started interviewing you, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, there's been a lot of updates since that time.
Absolutely.
So, Lloyd, we've got a minute left before I've got to take us to break. Anything else you want to leave my listeners with on what's happening over at your office? Any advice to give them regarding taxes, levies, new construction, anything you want to share?
Well, I encourage people to go on our website, take a look at their particular property, look at the characteristics that they're there.
Okay.
If they see anything in there, please call us. You know, we're not infallible. We do make mistakes from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, we want to make sure it's correct. And people that have lost views, for example, say, I don't have my view anymore, please call us because that does impact the value of your property. So if there's anything that's amiss, please get a hold of us. Well, I guess that's my message. The other aspect of it, don't be surprised when new taxes come out because a lot of special levies have been adopted this year.
Yeah, which, you know, you've got to open that and make a decision if you're going to vote or not because it has a huge impact on what's going to happen with your property taxes. Lloyd, thank you so much again for spending time with me. I know it's just crazy busy for you, and I just really appreciate you taking time to come out and personally come into studio.
Well, it's always a pleasure, and I will spend all the time that I need with you, Tina. It's a great
show.
Thanks,
Lloyd. Thank you. Coming up next to the Money Hour, are you a smart and safe financial investor? Do you really think about the best place to put your money? And you may have an idea of where you think you need to put it, but having an expert opinion, and you know how I feel about anything regarding money, there's experts in each arena when it comes to your money, and you need to talk with them to make sure that you're doing the right appropriate things to maximize your return. And that's why I've invited Brad Van Vechten, founder and managing member for Private Wealth Management Solutions, right here on 1150 AM KKNW after the short break.
The thought of my sons growing up without me inspired me to quit smoking.
I talked to my doctors, and then I threw away all my cigarettes, ashtrays, and lighters.
I started exercising instead of smoking.
Getting support from friends online kept me on track.
Staying away from alcohol when I was first quitting was key.
Instead of smoking after I ate, I'd get up and take a walk.
I missed having a cigarette in my hand, so I'd hold a pen or a straw, anything.
Until I knew I wouldn't give in to temptation, I spent more time with my friends who didn't smoke.
I went to places that were smoke-free.
I didn't stay quit the very first time I tried.
I kept on trying, and I learned something each time.
Do whatever it takes.
No matter how many times it takes.
I quit.
I quit.
I quit.
We did it, so can you.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
Mortgage fraud has been rampant since 2007. Many folks don't know they have legal rights. Find out if your mortgage loan has wrongdoings and fraud. Magnum Law Group will do a free audit of your loan documents. Facing foreclosure? Need to stop a foreclosure sale? Magnum Law Group can help. We have experts with valuable knowledge, and we get results. Have you decided to short sale your property instead of a foreclosure? Magnum Law Group has the experience to negotiate better and faster for you.
Hi, this is Deborah with Magnum Law Group. Please contact us at 425-454-4300. You can visit our website at www.magnumlawgroup.com or call us at 425-454-4300.
This is the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to the Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, September 13th show. I'm committed to providing you knowledge needed to be successful in every area regarding your financing. Knowledge is power, and that's why you'll receive, that's exactly what you'll receive listening to the show here today. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you're listening to a rebroadcast to talk with myself or any of the guests that I have in the studio, please feel free to call the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. And in studio right now, first time that I've had in studio, Brad Van Vechten, founder and managing member for Private Wealth Management Solutions. A financial advisor is a professional who renders financial services to clients, but how do you choose and find the best one to represent you? Brad, thank you so much for coming into studio today. Excited to have a chat with you.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you.
And a little bit about Brad. He is an independent, fee-only certified financial planner and is experienced client-centered financial advisor and investment manager with over 20 years track record of driving account growth and providing sophisticated financial advice to individual families and business owners. Brad's professional designations are certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant, certified investment management analyst, and chartered life underwriter, and is a Washington State registered investment advisor. Brad, thanks again for coming into studio. I always like talking in your arena because I think it's really important, obviously, in how we invest our money, the safest ways and the smartest ways to invest it, and also who we choose to represent us in this important financial piece of the of our blueprint. So what is the difference between a registered representative and a registered investment advisor, Brad? Can you share that with my listeners?
Happily. So it's interesting. Most people don't understand the distinction between the two. A registered representative works for a broker-dealer.
Okay.
An example of a broker-dealer would be somebody like a Merrill Lynch, even a Charles Schwab, ING, Prudential, any of these large companies would be broker-dealers. And broker-dealers supply, if you will, the menu mm-hmm. of investment solutions and products that their representatives can use.
Okay. And so between the broker-dealers and registered investment advisors, what's the difference in how each are paid?
Okay. And the first thing I train my clients to do is always ask, and it doesn't matter mm-hmm. what sort of professional you're working with, always ask how they get paid because I think that's important.
Of course.
To back up to your previous question, a registered investment advisor doesn't work for a broker-dealer. They work for the client.
Okay.
Okay. And they have a fiduciary obligation to work for the client. So generally speaking, registered representatives that work for broker-dealers are paid by commission.
Okay.
Whereas registered investment advisors can be paid a number of ways. They can be paid hourly by the project if there's a limited scope of work, mm-hmm. or if they're managing a client's assets, they can be paid a percentage of assets under management.
Okay. So, Brad, what makes an independent financial advisor unique from an advisor working at an institution like a warehouse or insurance company or a discount broker?
Very good. So, a registered representative working, for instance, at an insurance company as an example.
Okay.
I always like to use this analogy. So, if the only tool you have is a hammer, all problems tend to look like a nail. And so, there are going to be biases based on who your employer is. Uh-huh. If you work for an insurance company, generally speaking, you're going to try and solve most people's issues with the use of insurance products.
Of course.
Annuities, life insurance, and so forth.
Which are good products, but you want to make sure that you've got...
What you want is a general... somebody who looks at the big picture.
Yes.
You know, okay? As opposed to somebody who has a preconceived bias to sell you a given product or solution. Mm-hmm. And those are typically driven, frankly, by the level of commission offered.
Okay.
By those products. So you just want to be careful and selective. And you know, that's not to say that people work for broker-dealers or bad people or anything
sure.
like that. Generally, you know, the vast majority of them have their clients' best interests at heart. But perhaps they're somewhat biased, just mm-hmm. given the way they're compensated.
And I, you know, I know exactly what you're talking about because of not anymore in the mortgage industry because of the Dodd-Frank Act and a lot of things that are happening with CFPB. But the as a mortgage consultant, now there is there are not commissions that are paid differently for a VA product or an FHA product or a conventional product. It's all the same comp plan. But back before the crisis happened, and that's exactly what it was. And just like you're saying, I mean, you've got majority of you people that are taking care, mortgage consultants that were taking care of their clients were not selling based on product, but they were selling based on what was best for their client. But you and I both know, and as a listener listening today, when you're in sales, there is a percentage of those people that are not looking out for your best interest. So understanding how that works, then you know the questions that you can ask when you're in these different arenas and talking with different advisors, correct?
Absolutely correct. As a matter of fact, I work closely with an insurance broker who offers long-term care, and I was actually happy to learn that it doesn't matter which insurance broker you go to, all long-term care policies sold in the state of Washington have to be the same price. So,
okay.
So your coverages, you know, it all depends on
Is that something new that changed?
It is.
Well, that's great.
It is.
So it's kind of the same thing as with the lending reason behind it.
Yep, yep. So it doesn't matter if you go directly to a carrier, directly to a broker.
Okay.
You're going to pay the same price for the same product.
Okay, wow. Mm-hmm. So what is the difference between a fiduciary standard and the suitability standard when giving financial advice?
So broker-dealers are subject to a suitability standard. That basically means that the clients that are the solutions offered through them have to be reasonable, and they believe that they are in the best interest of the client.
Okay.
Okay. That's a suitability standard.
Mm-hmm.
A fiduciary standard is the same standard offered by attorneys, as an example, whereby you have to offer solutions and products that are in the best interest of the client. So you have to be put the client's best interest ahead of your own, number one. Therefore, disclose any conflicts of interest, disclose how you're paid, okay, if there's, you know, any commissions or such involved, and demonstrate a loyalty to and care for the client.
So a lot of accountability.
Absolutely.
With that.
Much higher standard.
Mm-hmm. And what are some of the biggest financial mistakes, just changing a little bit here on topic, biggest financial mistakes that you're seeing that people are making right now?
So titling of assets.
Okay. So explain that.
For instance, real estate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can title it community property, joint tenancy.
Which we're going to talk about that with my next guest today.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's one mistake I see. Number two is appointment of beneficiaries, 401ks, IRAs, 529 plans, things like that. Some people just neglect to appoint a beneficiary in the first place, or they're out of date. So in the event of a death or divorce or something like that, you may not want an individual.
So when we're talking about out of date, I mean, how often should people really talk with their financial advisor and make sure that they've got everything? I mean, how often should you be reviewing things?
Okay, so I take the responsibility of calling my client every year.
Okay,
to
so same as
things.
My like my industry. Okay,
yeah, exactly. Just to review that everything's still in place. And by the way, if a major event happens, I want to know about it. You know, clearly, as somebody's financial
and
advisor.
That yeah. So same thing with a mortgage. You know, any major event, and I would say, you know, same thing when you in talking with your financial advisor, any major change in your event and your estate planner as well, is you've got to keep key people that you want to pick up the phone and talk with and find out how it's changing your financial picture. So, Brad, what about the most frustrating part of what you do? Because I imagine when you're responsible and working with somebody's money, that just adds a different level of stress. But sometimes there's things that just get really frustrating. What is that?
So, clients that come to me who were chasing returns, as an example, you know, going online and working with a discount broker or whatever. And so not understanding the big picture, they're just looking at what I call the hot dot in that particular for a given asset class, as an example. And then the second thing is market timing. People that think they can jump in and out of the market, they somehow have, you know, clairvoyance and are able to predict the future. And just as an example of that, so a study was recently done. That over the last 20 years, the S&P 500, so that's 500 of our country's largest companies, the average annual return has been 9.2%. That's 20 years, so that's roughly 7,000 days. If you miss the 10 best trading days, your return dropped to 5.5%. If you miss the 20 best trading days, your return dropped to an average annual return of 3%.
Wow.
Just gives you an idea that you need to stay fully invested through the ups and downs and understand that you just can't jump in and out of the market and think you're going to do well.
Yeah, and I always say in real estate, being, doing mortgages and financing for homes, that real estate is a long-term investment. And the real estate market will always go up and it'll always go down. And trying to time the market is almost impossible. And I tell my clients that it is just like trying to time the stock market. Yeah. So, you know, you've got to be in and out and go in those ups and downs. Otherwise, you can be at risk of losing a lot of that appreciation over the long term. Now, let's talk a little bit about, I'm seeing recently a lot of advertising on TV. There's a lot of golf tournament sponsorships, and I see a lot of that in my business with financial planners that I see that are marketing that in your arena. Who is actually paying for all of this?
Well, I think it's pretty clear. It's the client. You know, the money's coming out of your pocket to sponsor golf tournaments, tennis tournaments, and all those minute ads on the Super Bowl.
Sure.
People have got to come to the realization that that's money coming out of your pocket.
Makes total sense. So would you advise, or can you give a description of mutual funds, exchange trade funds, and separately management accounts and how that works?
Okay. Well, we have limited time, so just briefly, as a little background, there are actively managed mutual funds, separately managed accounts, and ETFs now. And then there are passively managed ones. So passive means that it's just a basket of stocks, as an example, that are not traded actively. So an S&P 500 index is 500. It's basically 40 stocks because they are so heavily weighted. We'll get into that, some other time.
Another show.
Yeah, exactly. But as an aside, if you think you're well diversified because you own a S&P 500 index, you're wrong. And we can talk about that further some other day. Mutual funds, likewise, is a basket of stocks. It can be actively or passively managed. And then ETFs are a relatively new advent. They've come out in the last 10 years or so. And that, likewise, is a basket of stocks, generally passively managed. In other words, they don't change, and you're going to live with that basket of stocks for a period of time. So as a quick aside, if you think you're getting a diversified portfolio by investing in the S&P 500, just a quick note that the top four holdings in the S&P 500, which are ExxonMobil, Apple, Microsoft, and Procter & Gamble, it actually represents 11% of the total value of that index. And if ExxonMobil runs a ship aground, you own Exxon, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, wow.
Okay.
And I think it's so important, and I know you do as well, Brad, in diversification and really building that entire asset class. What are you telling your clients right now when it comes to real estate? Let's wrap up with this before I got to take us to break.
Absolutely. So I think everybody, if they have the wherewithal, should own real estate, specifically as their principal residence.
What about real estate with mortgage?
Absolutely. It's one of the benefits that our government gives us is that the mortgage interest deduction is tax deductible. And, frankly, when I see people out there espousing the benefits of paying off your mortgage early, I just don't see the benefit of that. You know, given real estate over time tends to just stay up with the rate of inflation, whereas I indicated earlier, the stock market, again, over time, averaging 9-10% a year.
Yeah, so you just look at your interest rate and realize, you know, the thing with real estate, I think people don't think about it, is it's a totally different asset class than anything else and how it's going to appreciate. It doesn't matter how much you owe against it. It's based on the value of your property and also on your other assets. When you're actually liquidating and pulling from that asset class to go into real estate, now you're actually bringing down that total investment gain that you're going to have on that asset. So look at the true cost of the rate after your deduction for homeownership and, you know, determine whether or not you feel over the long time you're going to be able to earn and compound at a higher return.
Well, as a matter of fact, right, and the benefits of leverage.
Exactly.
Huge benefit for real estate that you can't get anywhere else.
Yep, totally agree. Brad, it was so nice having you across the desk here for the first time and look forward to bringing you back. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Coming up next in the Money Hour, we're going to talk to an attorney. It's been a little while since I've had an attorney in studio to talk on this topic. We're going to talk about Washington State and if you're going through a divorce and how that's going to affect your property. I have Vincent Humphrey, attorney with Barrera Legal Group, and attorney John Barrera, owner of Barrera Legal Group, right here on 1150 AM KKNW after this short break.
Every day, more than 1.4 million American lives are disrupted by Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis. This year alone, 70,000 new cases will be diagnosed, and more of those are children. Nearly 75% of patients with Crohn's disease will require one or more surgeries at some point in their lives. Those are the facts, but they don't speak to the daily realities of living with Crohn's or colitis. Excruciating pain, a lifetime of medication, and days when they can't even get out of bed. There's a good chance you know someone suffering with Crohn's or colitis. Someone like me. I'm Amy Brenneman, and I'm asking you to support the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation of America. CCFA was created to help millions of us cope and to find cures. Visit ccfa.org today to learn more, donate, or join an event. It's time to face the facts and reach out to help someone you know at ccfa.org.
Mortgage fraud has been rampant since 2007. Many folks don't know they have legal rights. Find out if your mortgage loan has wrongdoings and fraud. Magnum Law Group will do a free audit of your loan documents. Facing foreclosure? Need to stop a foreclosure sale? Magnum Law Group can help. We have experts with valuable knowledge, and we get results. Have you decided to short sale your property instead of a foreclosure? Magnum Law Group has the experience to negotiate better and faster for you.
Hi, this is Deborah with Magnum Law Group. Please contact us at 425-454-4300. You can visit our website at www.magnumlawgroup.com or call us at 425-454-4300.
This is the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to the Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, September 13th show. I provide news on everything money, fresh information and market trends and conditions in our local economy. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you're listening to a rebroadcast, you can call into the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at the MoneyHour.com to discuss anything regarding money or to talk to any of the guests that I have in studio. And in studio right now, I have Vincent Humphrey, attorney with Barrera Legal Group. And I also have attorney John Barrera, owner of Barrera Legal Group. And your personal property and the effects that they may have in a divorce is what we're going to talk about. Thank you, Vincent, so much for coming in. And John, thanks for hanging out on the phone with us.
Thanks for having us today.
And a little background. Let's start out with Vincent being the first person in his family to attend college. Vincent continues to give back to his community as a zealous advocate. His passion revolves around helping those in need and serving those who would go unnoticed. Vincent practices in the arenas of criminal, family, civil, immigration, and personal injury law. He is also currently the chair of the Washington Young Lawyers Committee. And John is head of the firm's immigration and criminal defense practice. John's desire is to practice law was developed through his upbringing in Queens, New York, where he observed how important knowledge of the legal world was to protect an individual's right and interest. John became inspired to help individuals fight to protect their rights and interest. And John has a high success rate representing numerous clients in government federal agency proceedings, including immigration courts around the United States. So let's go ahead and start out. Vincent, I want to talk about what the legal grounds for divorce in Washington State. Let's just start it out with that.
Sure. And again, thanks for having me on the show today.
Of course.
So what are the legal grounds for divorce? Many people come into our office and want to talk about a surrounding circumstance in regards to what may have happened or what has led up to the divorce. But simply, based on the Washington State Revised Code, this is in Title 26. So the chapter is 26.09.030. I promise not to try to bore you. But the only legal grounds for divorce in the state of Washington is that the marriage is irretrievably broken.
Okay.
So we have what's considered a no-fault state. So it's not a situation where if something happens, some action taken by one spouse or one partner, that doesn't trigger, in terms of the eyes of the law in this state, a cause for divorce. Now, those things might support your petition or your initial filing, and those things are can come into the contemplation of the court, either the judge or the commissioner, but simply it's that the marriage is irretrievably broken.
Got it. So what are the main financial aspects of a divorce?
There are all sorts. To name some of the big ones, if there are children involved, we've got child support that may or may not come in, spousal support, alimony, or maintenance. All three of those mean the exact same thing. So alimony, spousal support, or maintenance. Those of you that may be listening may have heard all of those terms, but it all kind of means the same thing. And that goes into the standard of living for, again, a spouse or registered domestic partner. And so those are some of the few things. And then obviously any property division that you might have.
Yep.
And that is a huge one that I'm sure we're going to get into a little bit later. But
yeah, I'm excited, definitely excited to get into that. So I know that Washington State Community Property, Vincent State, and can you explain to my listeners what a community property state really means?
Sure. Community property is property that is acquired after the date of your marriage or after the registration of a domestic partnership by either domestic partner or husband or wife or both. I'll cite the code, and that's from the Washington State Revised Code. Again, Chapter 26.16.030. So simply stated, that means that all property that you have gained, acquired, bought, purchased, however you have gotten that from the date of that the marriage or registration of your domestic partnership becomes property of the community. And so I guess that's it in a nutshell, if I'll say. I mean, there's other legal things that go into that, but simply from the code, community property is property acquired after that date.
Okay, so are most states community property states, Vincent, or?
No. Currently, there are only 9 states.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, out of all of them, there's only 9 states that are community property states. And for those of you that are tuning in, they are Arizona, California, Idaho, Louisiana, Nevada, New Mexico, Texas, the great state of Washington, where I live, as well as Wisconsin. So those are the only states that are at this time community property states. There are some states that have kind of a hybrid situation like Alaska, but in terms of just straight community property states, these are the ones that are there.
All right. So how do I know which assets are separate property and which ones are actually community property?
Okay. So a good way to think about community property versus separate property. Separate property is everything that you had before. So if you had a certain asset, let's say it was a home or a car or a boat or an expensive piece of jewelry that you had before coming together as husband or wife or as domestic partners, even after you get married, it continues to remain separate property. What does that mean? That means that in the event of a divorce, that property is yours. Now, there are, I guess I'll throw in caveats as lawyers. We like to always make sure that we're representing
some exceptions there.
Oh, they're always there. They're always there. And so some of the things to be careful of if you're considering a divorce or even considering getting married is that the characterization of your property as separate, let's say it was a certain amount of money that was given to you. What the courts are going to look at is to see, well, did you keep that separate? Did you then, after it was a gift, did you put it into a joint bank account and then you spent some and then they put some in? And then the word is it traceable? Is there a way that a court can look and say, this money here in this account was yours separately or was it commingled? And that's when you need an attorney.
That makes total sense. And I know traceable and paper trail, because we do a lot of that in our arena as far as mortgages. So just keep all your documentation and be really smart. And if this is a concern, then you want to make sure that you can paper trail and go back and trace that that money has not gone into a joint asset in some fashion. So what if a family gives you know, one of my listeners, a large gift, and they're putting it together with a spouse or a partner. So that's what we're, you know, what we're talking about is it's making sure that they're keeping that separate, correct?
Absolutely. So if you're married or in a domestic partnership and a grandmother, an aunt, an uncle, or a friend decides to give you something from their will or something that they want to give specifically to you, this individual, the law has it that all gifts or inheritances that come in during that time period will stay your separate property. It's yours.
During the time period, during the marriage.
Yes.
So it doesn't need to be before. Okay. Wow.
Yes.
I didn't realize that.
So that's a little wrinkle. And a lot of people don't realize they might have the distinction that, well, before I was married, that's mine.
Yes.
But after you get married, if a family member or somebody gives you a gift and it's or it's an inheritance, it will still be considered your separate property.
And again, keeping that totally separate then, you're not going to, you don't want to mingle that with any of the other, if you're going to go purchase a home and you received a gift after being married, you know, for 5 years, if you had any concerns, you just wouldn't want that gift to be participating in the down payment for that new home, correct?
Correct.
Makes total sense.
If you want to maintain its characterization as separate.
So how is a property handled in other states, Vincent?
So in other states that aren't community property states, the courts look at making what's considered an equitable distribution of the property and assets.
Okay.
So there's a myriad of factors and different things that they have, such as the income of both spouses or partners, the length of the marriage, their standard of living, the tax consequences for one spouse versus the other. All of these things are factors that come in these other states. And that's not to say that even in Washington or Idaho or community property states that the courts don't consider those things. At the outset, in Washington, we're community property. So in states that don't have that designation, they are weighing those other factors more heavily.
Got it. And what if I purchase a property with separate funds that I had prior to the marriage or domestic partnership?
As I was saying earlier, if you're using separate funds and you have that documented and you have that characterization as airtight as you can, it still remains separate property. So if you get a gift of money and you decide to buy a car with that money or inheritance, that particular car, or let's say you use it to make a down payment for a house, it will remain that characterization of separate property.
Okay. And what are some of the tax implications that I should be aware of for my property with the value going up or down?
All right. So
I should say going up. There's no issues with the property value going down.
Right. some of the things that you want to consider are capital gains taxes. If your house is appreciated, there's long-term gains, short-term gains. I won't go into that. But there's also things you need to consider, such as your investment properties, mutual funds that you might have, investment accounts, other assets that may have appreciated in value. There might be a capital gains attachment to that. And so it's to your supreme benefit to have all of your property, and I would suggest this to all everybody that's listening, to have your property analyzed. So that way you know the risk if you're contemplating a divorce or if you're in the middle of a divorce, to have these things in your mind. How much is your property worth? What is the appreciation on it since you have been married? And is it characterized as community property or is it separate property? Having that knowledge either while you're in the process or before the process, can be very beneficial. And I know I've been doing a lot of talking. John, do you have anything you'd like to add?
Well, I forgot you were there, John.
No, trying to pay attention. And very important information that Vincent's talking about.
Yes.
Just to highlight some points, it's the documentation is so important because a lot of folks don't imagine getting into these entanglements, you know, when they mingle assets and property and everything. And, you know, just proper documentation gets you out of a lot of issues that could go that may go against you, you know. So pretty much emphasize that. And just, you know, knowledge, you know, and being empowered to be educated about, you know, how to deal with these disputes or these possible issues is so important. You know, don't take for granted that you know, that these legal issues can be complex. I mean, even though they look simple at first, they can become complicated. So don't hesitate to come and talk to an attorney and become educated. At the very least, if you don't hire the attorney, you at least get a better understanding of what your legal grounds are and you know, make better decisions on how to handle, you know, these legal issues
totally
in the future.
Totally agree. And that's why I started the show, John, and that's why it's called The Money Hour. It's everything regarding my listeners' money, and there are experts in every arena regarding your finances, and it's getting the expert opinion and advice. And you may think you know what's happening in law. You may think you know what's happening when it comes to your taxes or how to invest, but the reality of it is we can be good at maybe one thing, really good at one thing, and not more than one. So you got to go to the experts for everything else. John and Vincent, thank you so much for coming into studio. I really appreciate it. And I had so many more questions that I wanted to actually ask you, but time is never enough. So definitely we'll have to have you back in studio. Thank you.
Yeah, I'd love that.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tina.
Okay. And this is your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, signing off for the day. Enjoy your weekend, because I know that you're going to, and you're either listening to the show on Saturday or rebroadcast on Sunday, but it's an awesome day regardless this weekend. And again, love living in Seattle. Let's take advantage of it before the season change comes up. I will be here and look forward to talking with you more about money next Saturday right here on 1150 AM KKNW.
The preceding program is paid for by Absolute Mortgage, a division of Pinnacle Capital Mortgage Corporation. Absolute Mortgage Company, NMLS number 81395, and Washington CL number 81395, is an equal opportunity housing lender. Tina Mitchell, NLO number 145420, is a licensed loan originator with Absolute Mortgage. Visit AbsoluteLoans.com or call 888-90-HOMES for cost information.